Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Biden shamelessly brings up disinformation as the quest to tie people dying into misinformation really ratchets up in the wake of Hurricane Milton and Helene. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210, our fourth and final hour. Tomorrow, we'll be starting our fourth and final hour in Cape May, and I'm so excited about that. Super excited to see you in Cape May, so please join us. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I was really frustrated by this press conference earlier today with Mayorkas and with Biden. And I've told you before, you know, the Democrats' ultimate goal here is to make hate speech illegal and so-called disinformation illegal. And then who decides hate speech? The people in power. Who decides what's disinformation or misinformation? The people in power. And they will control the flow of information. It is the battle for information. That is what we are dealing with right now at an unprecedented level in the United States of America. And I'm going to prove that point to you because Mayorkas talked about it today. He said that the disinformation is killing people. He brought up hate speech, that government workers are getting attacked with hate speech online. So what they're doing is they're perusing the internet and finding whoever's saying anything, whether it gets traction or not. And then they're using that as an example. They can say, aha, you see? And then now there's an emergency. So then maybe one day we'll have the ability when there's emergencies to just shut down the First Amendment so that we can make sure there's no disinformation or misinformation that's killing people. And then what you'll see is just the First Amendment just shut down forever. They have a plan here. I'm telling you, they have a plan. Don't doubt me on this. What they want to do is use this as an excuse. I'm not saying they created the storm. I'm saying they're going to use the storm as the excuse to create the government's ability to clamp down on speech during emergencies, which will go on long after the emergency is over, because we're always in a perpetual state of emergency in this country. Here's what Biden said today.
Additionally, Vice President Harris and I said yesterday, and we'll say it again, to anyone who seeks to take advantage of our fellow Americans' desperation, whether you're a company engaging in price gouging or a citizen trying to scam your neighbors. We will go after you and we will hold you accountable. Now, not only that, our fellow Americans are putting their lives on the line to do this dangerous work and receive death penalties. Some received death penalties yesterday.
Death penalties.
As a result of reckless, irresponsible, relentless disinformation and outright lies that continue to flow. Those who engage in such lies are undermining confidence.
See, death penalties. You see what I mean? This is what I mean. If you so-called lie on social media, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. He doesn't know what it means, but it's whatever they decide it is. If you lie on social media and people die, and not because you specifically told somebody to do something, but just because they saw a tweet and I guess what they thought the storm was fake and they died, and therefore it's on you if you tweeted out that the storm's fake or climate change isn't real or that weather can be manipulated or whatever the hell it is. Somehow now you're responsible. Therefore, the social media platforms is responsible. Therefore, the government can shut it down. You see how this works? See how this works?
In the rescue and recovery work that's opening and ongoing.
Actually, back it up. Back it up for me. There we go.
And received death penalties. Some received death penalties yesterday.
Death penalties.
As a result of reckless, irresponsible, relentless disinformation and outright lies that continue to flow. Those who engage in such lies are undermining confidence in the rescue and recovery work that's opening and ongoing. As I speak, they're continuing. These lies are also harmful to those who most need help. Lives are on the line. People are in desperate
situations. This sounds to me like a dystopian movie. You know, where they use the crisis to come out and clamp down on speech because people are spreading lies. What lies are people spreading that is leading to people getting the death sentence, the death penalty? I don't understand. So some idiot tweets something on Twitter and now you're gonna make this a national issue? Everybody knew the storm was coming. And if you didn't believe the storm was coming, I don't know what to tell you. Why is that on anybody who tweets something that is so-called? You see, it's not. And you can't even use logic here to connect the dots. And that's the problem. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to use logic to counter his point. But it's so stupid, you can't even use logic to counter it. Because it's just an excuse. It's an excuse to clamp down on freedom of speech. Using this as the guise. Oh, well, people said things and people died. Therefore, shut down speech. That's the game.
Situations have the decency to tell them the truth. So let me say this. To all the people impacted by Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, despite the misinformation and lies, the truth is we're providing the resources needed to rescue, recover, and rebuild.
See that? We're receiving death penalties. So we're receiving death penalties because of misinformation. It's absolutely ridiculous. And even Russia got in on the act today with ABC's Mary Bruce asking Mayorkas if Russia is putting out disinformation regarding the hurricane. These people are insane. They're obsessed. I'm telling you, they're obsessed. This is ABC News' Mary Bruce.
Do you have any information to suggest that any foreign governments have tried to take advantage and amplify this misinformation about the response and recovery effort?
I have not been alerted to that phenomenon. We, of course, have seen foreign nations disseminate false information for other purposes. I have not seen it in the context of Hurricane Helene or the Hurricane Milton, which just transpired. But, of course, we are quite vigilant in monitoring that.
First of all, what misinformation? They really did not define this. Of course, they don't have to. What misinformation about the recovery efforts is really out there? They don't really have to define that. They just go out there and say that. They just say, well, you know, there's misinformation about the recovery efforts, and therefore, what is it? What some jackass tweeted something on social media that five people saw? Like, why are you elevating this to that level? And you know the answer. You know the answer. The answer is that this is their excuse to turn around and say to Elon Musk, we're taking over because you allow this stuff on your platform. It's so frustrating to me. It really is. It's so frustrating to me that this is what's going on. And even Harris goes on there about Trump's hurricane comments are dangerous gamesmanship. What is she talking about? Why does she keep injecting herself into this? As Governor DeSantis said, she's not in the chain of command. She's not involved in this in any way, shape, or form. She's the one trying to politicize all this stuff. Not him, not anybody else.
Leaders on the ground who know that it is not in the best interest of the people living in those areas to not know their rights, not to know what they're entitled to, and to be afraid of seeking help. It is dangerous. It is unconscionable, frankly, that anyone who would consider themselves a leader would mislead desperate people to the point that those desperate people would not receive the aid to which they are entitled.
How?
That's why I call it dangerous, and we all know it's dangerous, and the gamesmanship has to stop. At some point, the politics have to end, especially in a moment of crisis.
What is she talking about? I don't even understand what she's talking about. How is misinformation leading people to not get the help they need? What in God's name is she talking about here? I am so tired of this nonsense. I really am. I'm so tired of this. Their desperation to try to make it seem like this disinformation and misinformation is such a thing that people are dying so they can use this as an excuse. It is shameful and scary that this is the way the mindset of these people. It's how they think. Oh, man, this is unbelievable. But I do love DeSantis because he keeps pushing, not Matt DeSantis, but Governor DeSantis. He keeps pushing back on Harris. It's wonderful. It's great. Keep more of this.
She has no role in this process.
Thank you.
And I've been dealing with these storms in Florida under both Trump and Biden. Neither of them ever politicized it. And in fact, all the storms I've dealt with under this administration, although I've worked well with the president, she has never called in Florida. She has never offered any support. So what she's doing is she's trying to inject herself into this because of her political campaign.
Yep.
So as the governor here who's leading this, I don't have time for those games. I don't care about her campaign. Obviously, I'm not a supporter of hers, but she has no role in this process. And so I'm working with the people I need to be working with. We're leveraging the resources I need to be leveraging. And for her to try to say that my focus should be on catering to her rather than worrying about my own people just shows she doesn't understand what it means to respond to these natural disasters.
No, she doesn't. And she's to the point of she's not in the chain of command. She's not part of this. It's really pathetic. Honestly, it's just freaking pathetic in my mind that they are using this opportunity like this. It really is. It's pathetic. And I'm sorry, but I have no time for this nonsense. None whatsoever. And nobody does. It's shameful is what it is. Now, James Carville has made a very important point here. He knows that Kamala Harris is losing. He knows this, that she's losing this election. Because all these little games of hiding and pretending like she's not a real cat. I don't exactly know the strategy. I guess the strategy is, this is how I would explain it to you. All right. She can't handle the press. She can't take up tough questions. So she's going to bombard the airwaves with commercials. And that's her strategy. It's what she's going to do and avoid everything. And somehow the magic win is going to be there because people think Trump is a bad man, a bad orange man. OK, that's the strategy of her campaign. And it's not working for them. Trump is leading in every single swing state poll right now. Trump is very specific on the issues. And despite what Frank Luntz said at Putz, Trump has actually been taking a lot of questions. And CBS editing the answer for Kamala Harris, I mean, unbelievable, right? That they would do this. Unbelievable. But this is what Carville had to say about Kamala Harris's strategy. Take a listen.
Only thing I feel is the election's coming November 5th. And I'm scared to death, and I'll get a time to, you know, obviously.
You're not in a reflective mood.
Not in a particular reflective mood right now. I'm very, very concerned.
What does Harris need to do with the month left?
All right, 7 months left. Let's start. We got 26 days.
Yep.
Today is gone. You're going to lose 4th of the hurricane. Just subtract that. We're going to get blank. You're not going to be able to get much out for the next 4 days. So, and everything kind of shuts down to Saturday before the election. So you're really probably under 20 days that you have to really get a message out. They need to be sharp. They need to be aggressive. They need to stop answering questions and start asking questions. They're doing all this and sitting down with 60 Minutes and sitting down with Colbert and sitting down. No matter what, if I come on your show, you're going to ask me the question.
That's true.
If I have a press conference, I get to ask the question.
You'd like to see her do more press conferences?
I'd like for her to put more things in place.
Yeah, because she's not answering specific questions. She's not answering specific questions, and that's why she's losing. It's not that complicated to see here. And by the way, this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Vanaria. Trump reacted, by the way, to Kamala's appearance on the Beta Male Howard Stern show. Beta Male. He said, Beta Male Howard Stern made a fool of himself on his low-rated radio show when he interviewed Lion Kamala Harris and hit her with so many softball questions that even she was embarrassed. He looked like a real fool, working so hard to make a totally incompetent and, oh, what's the rest of it? And oh, shoot, it cut off for me here. Hang on one second. I love that the mean tweets are back. It makes me happy. A totally incompetent, ill-equipped person look as good as possible, which wasn't very good. I dropped Howard a long time ago, like most others, and have since been credited with very good judgment. MAGA 2024. That's funny. Very funny. I love it. Unbelievable. That's great stuff. That is great stuff. But look, if you think that these polls are accurate, you're crazy. Trump is doing even better. I'm telling you, he's doing even better. He's doing even better than we think. And the reaction of what the media is trying to do by protecting Kamala Harris is pathetic. And this story with CBS to this journalist, Tony DeCupo, what they did to this guy, it's unbelievable. The network subjected the anchor to a struggle session after he dared to commit journalism on the air. CBS News executives Wendy McMahon and Adrian Roark held a conference call with employees to address internal concerns about a September 30th on-air interview with the racial polemicist Ta-Nehisi Coates. Based on the gloomy tenor of the discussion, which was leaked to the Free Press and other outlets, some network employees felt that CBS Morning's co-anchor Tony DeCupo had been unfair to Mr. Coates, who was on a press tour promoting his new book, The Message. During the segment, Mr. DeCupo, who is Jewish, challenged Mr. Coates' characterization of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Mr. DeCupo did this forcefully but respectfully. Mr. Coates, who is black, answered both with confidence and poise. He didn't back down from his anti-Israel position. It was, as the diplomats say, a frank exchange of views. The five-minute conversation gave viewers a chance to see and hear Mr. Coates defend his positions against informed interrogation. In short, it was journalism. At CBS, that's now a problem, apparently. So the details are scant, but it seems that some staffers complained up the chain about Mr. DeCupo's treatment of Mr. Coates. The network's brass agree that the revered author of The Case for Reparations and Between the World and Me shouldn't have had to answer tough and fair questions. Imagine that. Imagine that. Unbelievable. And you know what? CBS is getting a lot of backlash for this after going after this guy, Tony DeCupo. Because you can't be a real journalist in this day and age anymore. Let me just give you a little bit of a sample of the kind of question that he got. And you could think to yourself, was it justified this guy getting axed like he did, getting taken out? Listen to this.
The book's the largest section of the book. And I have to say, when I read the book, I imagine if I took your name out of it, took away the awards and the acclaim, took the cover off the book, the publishing house goes away, the content of that section would not be out of place in the backpack of an extremist. And so then I found myself wondering, why does Ta-Nehisi Coates, who I've known for a long time, read his work for a long time, very talented, smart guy, leave out so much? Why leave out that Israel is surrounded by countries that want to eliminate it? Why leave out that Israel deals with terror groups that want to eliminate it? Why not detail anything of the first and the second intifada, the cafe bombings, the bus bombings, the little kids blown to bits? And is it because you just don't believe that Israel in any condition has a right to exist?
Well, I would say the perspective that you just outlined, there is no shortage of that perspective in American media. That's the first thing I would say. I am most concerned always with those who...
For asking that question, he gets in trouble. For asking that question. And I mean, there's a back and forth exchange, but even in the Washington Post, the far right wing Washington Post, they say Tony DeCoupel's tough questions on Israel were good journalism. The CBS anchor was doing his job in his interview with the guest. Doing his job. That's what he's supposed to do. Ask tough questions. It was a tough interview, more in your face than the standard morning show fare, and he kept pressing for most of the nearly 7-minute interview. What is that so particularly offends you about the existence of a Jewish state that is a Jewish safe place and not any of the other states out there? And why is there no agency in this book for the Palestinians? They exist in your narrative merely as the victims of the Israelis, as though they were not offered peace at any juncture. The tone was civil but intense. The Washington Post. Coates, no surprise, more than held his own. But for that, what CBS News does to this guy is to say, you're out. You're done. They I mean, it's turmoil now. And so he had to issue regrets. He had to offer regrets because that's what you have to do. So he had to go to a staff meeting and he had to issue regrets to everybody. And that's what he had to do. There were tears. People were upset. Staffers were divided. And they were troubled by his interview with Coates last week. You see? You want to keep your job? You better go and apologize. Otherwise, you're going to be out. That's the media in this country. That's what we're dealing with right now. And CBS should be facing a backlash because a journalist tried to do his job and push back on an author who had opinions that were very anti-Israel, and for that he gets blasted and has to go in and do a tearful apology. That's America for you. That's America. All right, we got more to come. And speaking of Israel, by the way, what is going to be the impact of Kamala Harris saying that Netanyahu is not an ally, refusing to answer the question and pivoting on that? We're going to talk about that with an Israeli Olympic champion straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, he is an Israeli Olympian. He's captain of Israel's Edelman bobsled team, a mixed Jewish-Druze team training for the 2026 Olympic Games. And he's ranked third on the North American circuit. When not sliding down mountains, he's a rider, he's a commentator. He's A.J. Edelman, and he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. A.J., my man, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I appreciate you being here. So the other day on 60 Minutes, Kamala Harris was asked about Netanyahu. And like everything else Kamala Harris does, she stumbled through the answer. I'm going to play it for you, and I want to get your reaction. This is the pre-washing of the word salad. 60 Minutes would ultimately, of course, go on to polish this answer for her. But this is it in its raw, original form. Let's take a listen.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
All right, A.J. Edelman, your reaction to that?
America has an alliance with all freedom-loving people. The question is, how do you serve those freedom-loving people? And the freedom-loving people have to be served with an alliance that deals appropriately with the country's government. You can't just bypass. It's been quite an incredible phenomenon of the last couple of administrations on the Democratic side, where the intent was, so to speak, to bypass the government itself, or even I remember during the Obama administration, there were efforts from parts of the State Department to influence those elections. And now you have Chuck Schumer during this administration standing on the floor of the Senate and calling for regime change in Israel. You have active engagement with other parts of Israel's parliament outside of Bibi when it comes to kind of just trying to prop them up, the opposition. I think it's really inappropriate when the United States deals with Israel in a way that it removes agency from its citizens. So those citizens elected Bibi Netanyahu for 17 of the last 25 years. He has been prime minister for 2/3 of the last quarter century, right? The notion that he's just taken over Israel and therefore we just bypass him is quite, it's obscene in a way.
I agree with you 100%, but I think I'll go a step further. I've been reading a lot from lefties on Twitter who they're flat out accusing Bibi of genocide and saying that the Democrat Party needs to denounce him. And unless Kamala Harris comes out and literally denounces Bibi Netanyahu, they will not vote for her. She's got a real problem here on her hands because this administration has tried to play it both ways. And she's terrified about losing Michigan. She's probably going to lose Michigan because of the auto workers, but also because you have a lot of, just face it, just say what it is, Jew haters out there. And it's part of the reason why she didn't pick Josh Shapiro to be her running mate, which if she did, I think we'd be in a much different race right now in Pennsylvania. So thank God she didn't. But it is. You're right. I mean, it's the arrogance of the United States of America. We don't tell Ukraine what to do. We don't tell Zelensky what to do. We don't tell them to step aside. None of that stuff. But with Israel, we feel the need to tell them how to fight their war. We tell them what we think of their prime minister. I mean, it really is the height of arrogance.
Oh, it actually speaks to the hypocrisy. It goes far beyond hypocrisy. Donald Trump was impeached for what they falsely claimed was a quid pro quo offer of holding over U.S. influence on what Ukraine might get in order so that he could receive in kind a favorable solution. That was the charge, right? this administration has done that on a wide scale, right? They hold up arms shipments to Israel. They apply leverage to what Congress has appropriated. The very notion that the U.S. can try to dictate or slow walk other countries' responses to what is itself genocidal terror is not only the height of hypocrisy, it really spits in the face of the American ideal of allowing freedom-loving people to chart their own course.
I want to play for you a clip that has particularly upset the left, and it's Bibi Netanyahu speaking here to the people of Lebanon. Take a listen here.
You have an opportunity that hasn't existed in decades, an opportunity to take care of the future of your children and grandchildren. You have an opportunity to save Lebanon before it falls into the abyss of a long war that will lead to destruction and suffering like we see in Gaza. It doesn't have to be that way.
Your reaction to that, AJ?
Yeah, so I think what has prolonged the entirety of the conflict, there's no conflict like this, where for 75, 80 years, people just remove all agency and all responsibility from bad actors and go, well, you have no future because the country next door won't let you have a future, right? We deal with reality in the world. We don't deal with what we like. Wishing Israel disappeared or wishing things just got better has been the it's kind of been the hallmark of Democratic administrations as well as the State Department for a very long time. And the reason the Middle East is so overtly melted down is the U.S. has created a power vacuum in the world. It used to be the world's preeminent leader when it came to moral clarity and moral vision, right? Clarity of vision is so important for the U.S. to exhibit because it holds bad actors at bay, right? Prevents them. It's a deterrent. And when the U.S. has exited that deterrent situation and said, you know what, it just so happens that Hezbollah exists there and they're a genocidal group that just creates a whole bunch of problems. And Iran funds them and funds the Houthis and funds Hamas and funds essentially seven different horrible actors to try to wipe Israel off the map. Finally, this is the first time in probably since the 60s that the Middle East has an opportunity to fundamentally reshape its security status, right? And part of that, the biggest part, is removing the proxies of Iran. And Hezbollah is a very embedded proxy of Iran. So I 100% support what Bibi says there. His point is very clear, right? It's the responsibility of a country to protect its citizens. Hezbollah presents an existential genocidal threat to Israel's citizens. And so it's going to deal with it because for the last 25 years or so, or last 20 years since the second Lebanon war, no one has held Hezbollah at bay, right? And Israel is now a no-go zone in the north. And so Israel is going to finally take care of Hezbollah as any country should and as the U.S. would if Toronto was a launching pad for missiles into New York, right? How can Lebanon help out? How can they protect their own citizens? By uprooting Hezbollah. The number one hypocrisy that I hear generally from people who hate Israel or who hate even America is that you can't blame any of the actions in the surrounding countries because they're being held hostage, so to speak, by bad actors, right? Hezbollah is a bad actor. Hamas is a bad actor. Palestinian Authority is a bad actor. How could you blame anything that happens? Well, this is the solution. Remove the bad actor, right? So it's peak. Again, we come to the hypocrisy of saying that these are horrible bad actors who hold these civilians hostage to bad actions, to genocidal actions. So then the answer is you have to take care of that. You have to remove it.
AJ Edelman's with me. You can follow AJ on Instagram at AJ Edelman, and you definitely should, by the way. He's an Olympic champion, and it's great to have him on the show today. You know, a lot of people have been accusing Netanyahu of wanting to start World War III here and wanting to start war with Iran. From my perspective, I think he's been incredibly restrained with Iran. I think, you know, to your point, if Toronto were firing missiles into New York City, it would be a much different story, no question about it. But let's talk about Iran, because it obviously is the shadow that is cast here upon the Middle East and the funding of the terrorism that Iran does. And an administration here with Biden, and just like with Obama, too, that not only turns a blind eye to what Iran is capable of, but provides them the means to do it, which is the money they make from oil.
Right. So the money is fungible. And this is something that I guess these administrations clearly don't understand because they have screwed up the economy so bad. But money in one account is not restricted to that one account. If you have $100,000 and $50,000 is in one account, $50,000 is another, you have $100,000, right? Even if someone says you can't use that $50K for something, you're just going to use the other $50K for it. And so this notion that Iran is, you know, if we unfreeze $15 billion to Iran, that's not going to help fund their anti-American, their anti-freedom, their anti-Western value sentiment, that they're not going to fund the Houthis to kill U.S. personnel, to block shipping, to raise global prices, right? That it's insane. Like that policy is insane. I don't think that Israel doesn't like war because Israel doesn't ever win in war. Israel's not allowed to win in war. Since the 60s, the way wars have gone in the Middle East is someone will try to wipe Israel off the map. Israel will then kind of kick their ass. And then the, you know, pardon the language. And then the world will kind of jump in at the midway point and go, haven't you done enough? Right. It's past proportionate. You've more people have died on their side than yours. Right. But that doesn't solve the problem because war itself is a means to a just end. Everything from the start of a war to the end of the war is calamity. It's tragedy. It's death. It's destruction. It's horrific. The only thing that justifies war is getting to that just end. And so when you stop a war, when you stop conflict before the just end, you've just created, instead of a war of justice, you've created a war of attrition and death and despair, right? Nothing good comes from that. And so since the Obama administration, it's really been trying to somehow wish into the world that Iran is just this fairy, right? It's this fairy that really means well, but, you know, despite all of its oil and its many billions of dollars, like it just needs a little more coddling. It needs a little more diplomacy. And that doesn't work because they're genocidal terrorists, and genocidal terrorists don't like diplomacy. They like strength and they abhor weakness. And so Israel has been forced into a situation now in which the U.S. has held it, that it has withheld weapons, it has withheld resources as a means of leverage to prevent Israel from getting to the core of the problem, which is Iran and which is the threat of its nuclear program, for too long. And now Israel finally has the ability to go after Iran because they've so castrated, literally castrated Hezbollah.
And I think it's the only way to prevent World War III, to be honest with you. I really do. I mean, it just to keep Israel, to keep Iran at bay. Otherwise, we will enter World War III because Iran is obviously buddies with Russia and China. And so it's an important point that I think people miss all the time. You know, if you want peace, it's peace through strength, and you have to keep Iran at bay. It just has to be done. AJ, thank you for joining me on the show today. I really appreciate it. It was really informative. What's next for you in your Olympic career? Let's talk about the next go.
There's 500 days left until I retire officially, until the team makes its last run. Hopefully it'll be at Milan, the Olympics in 2026. It's an amazing bobsled team, actually. So after October 7th, all of the team's members were called to war. They all went off to fight. Even the Arab members of the team, the Druze, they're ethnically Arab, but they're a distinct religious and ethnic minority in Israel. They've been an integral part of the team for the last 5 years. They went off to fight. And so we pieced together a season where people would come in for 2 weeks at a time. We still managed to finish third in the entirety of North America. I'm hoping that this season is even better than that, but we're setting up for an Olympic run that will start next year. And you know, it's just, I call it the little sled that could, because in many ways, it's just such an embodiment of what Israel can accomplish. You know, going up against the rest of the super teams in the world, we're the only unfunded, completely unfunded team, meaning Israel doesn't step in itself to provide any assistance until we qualify. So Every single thing that the team does is entirely powered under our own athletes through private donations. Everything we've done, we're the only team in modern bobsled history to capture an overall circuit podium without a single drop of national assistance. It's quite incredible.
Amazing stuff. Well, listen, best of luck, my friend. And, you know, our prayers are with you and the people of Israel. And thank you for joining us on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Again, like I said, follow AJ on Instagram at AJ Edelman. Thank you, my friend.
Can I say one more thing to those out there who are listening? I think the last year in many ways has meant a lot of things to a lot of different people. But if you're listening to talk radio, more than likely it can be applied as a lesson to all of us that there's a lot of bullies out there. There's a lot of people who want to shout you down and who, just because you hold other ideas and actually ideas which I find to be just and right, they're going to vilify you for those ideas. Right. But the answer to that is to stand up and fight. Right. One thing that I will always credit Bibi for, right? I do believe that Bibi failed spectacularly to understand how 10-7 come about. And so he owns that as a leader. But one of the things that I will always credit Bibi for, and which I think we can all learn from as Americans, as people who are peace-loving folks, is that when you stand your ground, when you actually stick to the path that you're on, your principles, good things come about. Because there is no way that Israel would have blown the balls off of every Hezbollah member in the last few weeks and beheaded every single one of their leaders if Bibi had folded to U.S. pressure early on. And it happens on our college campuses. It happens in the office where we can't speak our minds. We can't be conservative if we want to. The answer to all of this from the past year is, if you believe that what you have is a just sense of morals, stick to your principles, because those who want to shout you down and put you in a closet, you can't. There's only one response to it. You got to stand up and you got to fight. I always credit Trump with that. He got shot in the ear. What did he stand up and do? He yelled, fight. That is exactly what we need to do.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Inspiring words for sure. We appreciate it very much. AJ Edelman, thank you so much for your passion and for joining us here in Philadelphia.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, before I get out of here and turn it over to Jimmy Failla, the Fox Across America, that sexy beast, let me tell you about how companies are scrapping their DEI nonsense, which is good. And this TD Bank story, I still can't. I know I opened the show with it today, but that was like 4 hours ago at this point. But in case you just missed it, TD Bank enabled drug traffickers, and they'll pay a $3 billion fine, according to the feds. New Jersey-based TD Bank, they've agreed to a $3 billion fine after pleading guilty in a staggering money laundering scheme that funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars to drug cartels, according to the DOJ. And they agree. They said, yeah, we did it. Employees were in on it, too. Oh, man, you can't make this stuff up. Now, this is good news. Companies are scrapping or rolling back their DEI grants. Remember my joke on Fox News Saturday night? If you had to rename a movie instead of Die Hard, DEI Hard. Yeah, that's right. DEI Hard. Well, companies are scrapping or rolling back DEI grants. Pullback in aid for Black and Hispanic-owned small businesses follows litigation from activists. They made a commitment and it went away. UBS has stopped giving out $25,000 grants directed at businesses led by women of color. A PepsiCo program to help Hispanic startups no longer requires them to be Hispanic-owned. Progressive, the insurance company, dropped any reference to race in its small business aid program. A TikTok grant program's webpage hasn't been updated in a year. Big companies are dropping or reshaping grants and other aid programs that were directed at Black and Hispanic-owned small businesses. In the midst of legal and public pressure campaigns, many businesses are unwinding programs that they launched after George Floyd's death. The pullback shows how the legal climate is leading companies to make concrete changes that go beyond revisiting internal policies on diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know why? Because people have had it with this nonsense. They really have. They've had it with this nonsense. They're sick and tired of it. They really are. They're sick and tired of it. And it doesn't make them any money, and it's stupid. And it's also discriminatory, too. It's discriminatory. If you say you can only be Hispanic to get this, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanaRia, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you at Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So go see him today for your free implant consultation. And do it now. But, you know, it doesn't make them money, and it discriminates against people, and it's wrong. So the fact that companies are walking away from this nonsense is great. It's a good thing. And I'll talk more about this with Dr. Wilfred Riley tomorrow when he joins me on the show. I think it's a great sign of where we're headed. You get away from this nonsense. And people don't want this, too. I mean, people are not looking to see how woke their companies are. And I think the companies went down this road because they hire a lot of woke college kids to work for them. And the woke college kids tell the companies, hey, everybody out there thinks like I do. And that's not the case. Everybody out there doesn't think like they do, thinks that their woke policies are idiotic. And you saw that with Bud Light, and you saw that with a lot of other things too. But then to know that your dollars as a customer are going to fund DEI programs, I mean, you don't want that. Nobody wants that. You know what I mean? So this is good. This is a this is a good sign. And Dave McCormick picked up an endorsement, the Allegheny County FOP Lodge 91. McCormick in his race for the United States Senate seat in Pennsylvania, racking up all the police endorsements versus the lesser Casey, which is great stuff. Good for him. Good for him. Now, I know I went into a lot about DeSantis earlier, but it's amazing to me the lies of this administration and the lies they tell. And I played you Peter Ducey. I played you ABC's Mary Bruce. Mayorkas, his nonsense about hate speech earlier. We had a great time on the YouTube chat with that. That was a lot of fun earlier in the show today. So thank you for streaming on YouTube, by the way. It's really, really important. But it still comes out to be the issue is the economy. But one of the things I want to mention is there's been a lot of talk recently about universal basic income. Universal basic income. John Stossel, who I love, I think John Stossel is fantastic, did a piece on this where he showed why giving people free money doesn't work. It doesn't work. They call it universal basic income. Cash for everyone, no strings attached. Comedian Dave Chappelle thinks UBI would save my community almost instantly. Well, he has an activist that he talked to named Conrad Shaw, who says you would effectively get rid of extreme poverty immediately. But what John Stossel shows is that actually, if you just give people money, they won't work. You're just replacing existing welfare programs with something else. I mean, it's common sense if you think about it, but it's one of the ideas of the left, and it's an idea that Kamala Harris is open to. Don't forget, back in 2019, she flirted with that idea, too. Oh, yes, she did. Yes, she did. The idea of universal basic income so that everyone can live the life they want without doing nothing to contribute to society. I mean, look, the minimum bar should be you have to get up and go to work because it's good for you. I really believe that. I think putting in a good day's work, and don't make your little jokes, I work hard some many days, is good for you. Good for your spirit. It's good for your mind. It really is. It's good for who you are as a person. And when people lose their job, they get depressed. And it's not about the money many times. It's about not having that sense of doing something. And it's the same thing, too, when it comes to retirement. A lot of people love being retired and they golf all the time and they're happy and they're having fun. For a lot of other people, they miss it and they wind up getting another job. Yeah, they wind up doing something on the side. I see myself dying behind this microphone, which could be tomorrow. But no, I love what I do. I can't imagine ever retiring from this. But I'm obviously planning on someday being able to afford to. I don't know if I'll ever be able to in this economy. That's why I hope Trump wins. But no, but you know what I mean? I mean, work is good for you. And we used to have this idea in America that work mattered and your work ethic mattered and that you could be more than you are by working hard at something. I mean, look, I admire Jimmy Fallon a lot. I know he's coming on next, but this is a guy who was a cabbie, and he worked his ass off to get where he is. And he did a lot of shows, late night shows, away from his family, comedy shows, and it's worked out great for him. But it's hard work. You put in the work. You got to put in the sweat equity, as it's called. And then they get to a mindset of universal basic income to eliminate poverty. Why don't we come up with creating jobs to eliminate poverty? I mean, doesn't that seem to be the better answer? We've been handing out money. This government has been handing out money since the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, actually since the day of the first horrible president, Woodrow Wilson, but really ramped up under Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson with his Great Society nonsense. So we've been giving out money. It doesn't work. But I'm telling you, if Kamala Harris gets elected president, you will watch. You will see. You will see with your very own eyes exactly what happens, and that is that there'll be a renewed push for universal basic income. And I want to mention again earlier, you know, this guy, this ISIS guy who worked with the CIA, who allegedly planned to die a martyr, and good for Jackie Heinrich, I played it earlier in the show, pushing back on this. The suspect may have been radicalized, but he was working with the American CIA, and he planned to do this big Election Day ISIS terror plot? And Mayorkas refused to answer questions on it today. Refused. Absolutely refused to answer questions on this. There's a lot of questions I have about this. And I also wonder how much of this is just a red herring. I really do. I wonder about that, as he lets them dodge accountability for everything. All right, listen, I will see you in Cape May tomorrow, okay? Live tomorrow in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. So join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it. Please come 3 to 7 p.m. Say as long as you like. We'll have a great time together. Jimmy Fail is up next. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.